The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
Well, maybe not yet. Turkey Day. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We're live. That's right. Phone lines are open, 208-216-6100. If you have anything to chime in on what we're talking about. Don't you just love these nasally newscasters out there talking about, you know, the cheerleaders talking about how wonderful the economy is and how consumer confidence is up? Really? Well, if consumer confidence is up, why did new home sales fall last month? Well, I can answer that quickly. Rising mortgage rates and adverse climatic conditions, according to the data from the U.S. Census Bureau, if it's to be believed. Now, as you know, the U.S. Census Bureau doesn't do that accurate of a job. Remember the old saying about if you want something not done right, let the government do it? Yeah. That's what I mean. In October, 610,000 new single-family homes were sold, 17.3% fewer than the previous month. Now, this is what U.S. Census Bureau says. Now, I don't know how or why they keep track of that, but they just do. And it's easy to do because most everybody went out and got a mortgage loan. Maybe almost everyone. There's a lot of people out there that paid cash. In fact, you're going to see at least 40% of those buying homes paying cash because they don't want a mortgage, because they know how the banking industry is these days, and they know that when you get a mortgage, it's likely that your mortgage has been securitized on Wall Street. And it's basically what you're signing is a unilateral adhesion contract. So I don't know how people could be, and this is really funny, they said that the Gallup poll, according to USA News here, said that it was a negative 17 on their scale about consumer confidence going up since Trump was elected. Well, 17.3% is what the figure is as far as the percentage of fewer homes sold than in the previous month. It's also down 9.4% compared to a year back, the lowest level since November of 2022. This is when we were, like, all COVIDed out, right? And, of course, Zillow has to chime in. And they're basically saying last month's decline was an unexpected uptick in mortgage rates. Well, that makes sense. Nobody wants to pay high interest rates for a mortgage loan. And, to top all this off, the hurricanes that hit Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, did all that damage. That didn't help matters much either. Those that were affected by Helene and then Milton, you know, that didn't help, especially down in Florida or any of the other states that were affected. There is still toxic mud in North Carolina. So I don't understand how Redfin can come out that early stage home buying demand was at a 15-month high despite elevated mortgage rates. The market is uncertain right now. There's a lot of builder sentiment going on, which means, according to National Association of Home Builders, they have increasing confidence that having Republicans in power will lead to significant regulatory relief. However, I don't care about the construction sector. If the rest of the economy is sucking wind, the construction sector, you know, they're basically, I don't know if you know the difference between the kind of stuff that I was building with SIPS homes. You know, because these are Category 5 hurricane-resistant properties that I built in Florida and Texas and various other places. The circumstance is such is that all these production builders, which is what they are, they have a system where they, and you remember when the prices of lumber were up a couple of years ago? And now they're gradually just kind of inching their way down? This also affects the construction industry. And as long as product price remains high, so will home price. And what I don't understand is how two entities that are under the conservatorship of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, namely Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, are now saying they're going to buy home loans valued up to $806,500. Now, that decision could enable potential home buyers in the U.S. to purchase higher-priced homes. Question is, why would you want to? Is this a keeping up with the Joneses mentality? You're asking yourself, how does that work? The FHFA, which was appointed when Fannie and Freddie went begging. Oh, did you forget? Did you forget what happened in 2008 when everything went to hell in a handbasket? And Fannie and Freddie had to get $185 billion in bailout money from the United States government courtesy of the taxpayer. And, of course, now they were put under the conservatorship of the FHFA, which hasn't loosened their grasp on these two entities, Fannie and Freddie. And so how they can increase what they will loan on past $1.2 million in certain areas. I mean, $806,500. Imagine what kind of house that would buy. Now, in Hawaii, Alaska, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Guam, the limit for one-unit homes is set at 150% of $806,500, which comes into around 1.2. Who can afford to live in houses like that? Obviously, people that have six-figure incomes, right? Because a lot of America, I mean, if you earn less than $55,000 a year, you can't qualify for a mortgage. And that's most of America. And then you have people out there like Gen Zers. They want to buy property too. They want to buy homes. Can they afford to? Not if they're making less than $55,000 a year. So it's no wonder they're sitting around whining about what they have to pay in rent. And depending on where they live, I mean, why would you want to live in a high rent district? It's like playing Monopoly. You ever played that game before? Everybody was always, you know, I always had lots of fun on Mediterranean and Baltic Avenue putting hotels there so I could nail everybody every time they passed go. You see, and then you build your estate. Well, see, building wealth in America right now when everybody is down each other's throats and the merchants of the earth are out there peddling their wares. I mean, they're just now reporting on, you know, how to be aware not to get stung, read the fine print, all this other happy stuff. So you got all these people, the cheerleaders have come out. All these companies, you know, Fannie and Freddie, by the way, and Ginny. Let's not forget Ginny Mae. Those of you with an FHA loan, Ginny Mae is holding that portfolio. But you see, Fannie and Freddie are responsible for 60% of all the mortgage loans out there. I think I brought that figure up. Interesting how it works, huh? In other business news, South Korea's central bank delivered a surprise interest rate cut. The Bank of Korea cut benchmark interest rates for a second straight meeting. Are you ready for this? 3%. 3% in South Korea. How can you not look at what's happening in America and wonder why we have 7% interest rates when they can cut theirs to 3%? They want to stimulate their economy. You'd think we'd take a hint? Nope. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission has opened a broad antitrust investigation into Microsoft, including of its software licensing and cloud computing businesses, according to a source. The probe was approved by FTC Chair Lina Khan ahead of her likely departure in January. Well, here's the deal. How many people in Congress right now do you think are jumping on Microsoft stock? What do you think happens when a government agency says they're going after a business, especially a company? I mean, look what happened during the Clinton era. He announced he was going to investigate a certain drug company. All of a sudden, Hillary buys a bunch of stock. I'm not going to investigate the company after all, says Bill. The stock shoots back up. Hillary cashes in, makes a bunch of money. See, to anybody else out there, it'd be called insider trading. So with the U.S. Federal Trade Commission investigating Microsoft, do you think that if their stock has dropped that a lot of people are going to jump on this now? Even though I didn't give you an insider trading tip. I'm just talking about the way things work in D.C. And we'll be back with more news after these important messages here on the Krieger Files on this Thanksgiving Day. How big a bird you got? Call us and let us know. 208-216-6100. Be right back.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
18 minutes after the hour here, we're back in the saddle on this Thursday. Happy Turkey Day to you. I mean, you know, anybody want to go out for Chinese? Yeah, it's this day that Americans sit around and watch football and gorge themselves on turkey, maybe. Get their little L-tryptophan buzz. I'm a big stuffing fanatic, I know. It's not that good for you, but I love it. I can't do without it. I got to have my stuffing. Yeah, I always liked watching Are You Being Served, where... Yeah, the lady with the purple hair, remember her? Played by Molly Sugden, you know, tells somebody to get stuffed. I always think of that every time I'm putting all that celery and apples and onions and everything into the bird to keep it moist. And we're not doing a big bird this year, it's just us. I don't know about you, but, you know, we have a 14, almost 15-pound bird. So that's about 3 hours in the oven. So, I mean, if you eat early today, it probably would be a good thing. If you wait until late in the evening to eat, you're going to be in a world of hurt overnight. You will not sleep well. I can tell you that from experience. Now, there's a country out here, as long as we're talking about food and whatnot. Denmark, here's an interesting thing. I don't know if you knew this or not. Denmark is known for its inventive restaurants and elegant design studios, and it's about to become known for something more basic. The world's first belch and manure tax. I guess they didn't get enough of the farmers spraying the liquid manure all over storefronts, huh? And, of course, the belch and manure tax is because there are five times as many pigs and cows in Denmark as there are people. Nearly two-thirds of its land is taken up by farming, and agriculture is becoming its largest share of climate pollution, according to the Danes, putting lawmakers under intense public pressure to reduce it. So now Denmark's unlikely coalition government, made up of three parties from across the political spectrum, have agreed to tax the planet heating methane emissions that all those animals expel through their poop, farts, and burps. The measure, under negotiation for years, was passed by the Danish parliament this month, making it the only such climate levy on livestock in the world. And, of course, everybody thinks it's good, except the farmers. Never mind everybody's shopping cart containing thick slices of pork belly. The tax is part of a larger package designed to clean up the country's ag pollution problem. Wow. You know, I really think that part of their problem is they don't seem to be worried too much about the food system, because the food system accounts for a fourth of greenhouse gas emissions. And so reducing those emissions requires making tough choices on diets, jobs, and industries. At the same time, farmers are vulnerable to the hazards of climate change with punishing heat, droughts, and floods exacerbated by the burning of fossil fuels. That makes food a particularly vexing climate problem to take on. I guess we should all just starve ourselves, right? Is that what we got to do? See, that's the problem that I have with a lot of these global issues, these climate changes. Meanwhile, in New York, a federal judge has granted a motion yesterday to hold the New York City and Department of Corrections in civil contempt for failure to remedy patterns of excessive use of force and hazardous living conditions at Rikers Island. As the record in this case demonstrates, according to District Judge Laura Swain, U.S. District Judge, by the way, wrote in a 59-page opinion, as the record in this case demonstrates, the current rates of use of force, stabbings and slashings and fights, assaults on staff and in custody deaths remain extraordinarily high, and there's been no substantial reduction in the risk of harm currently facing those who live and work in Rikers Island jails. Of course, New York and Rikers Island didn't respond. Legal Aid Society filed the class action on behalf of the plaintiffs who are inmates at the jail. It holds that defendants haven't complied with four court orders calling for corrective action. Well, you really think they're going to do that? Hey, I mean, look at all the defund the police, defund this, defund that. I mean, do they have the money to do that? I don't know. Oh, let's see what else is going on here. Well, we have a little bit of yesterday, Tom Homan, our border czar in the Trump administration coming up. Went down to the border yesterday, met with state troopers and guard members to reassure them that we're going to move forward with these deportations and that, you know, we're going to lighten up on you guys. We're not going to accuse you of whipping illegal immigrants like the the other party did. You saw that scene, of course. And Homan, along with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, showed up and fed the National Guard at a military base near the Rio Grande, a Thanksgiving dinner, and a message to the troops. Now, you have to understand, Tom Homan has worked under six presidents, starting with Ronald Reagan and including Obama, and reiterated his support for Trump's policy of mass deportations. And understand that if any of these Democratic mayors and governors decide to mess with him, he will go after him. And speaking of, we have a little tete-a-tete going on and some either misinformation, disinformation, contradictions. Trump says Mexico has agreed to bar migration to the U.S. border. But that's not what Mexico's president says, even though the headlines read migrant caravans no longer arriving in the U.S. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum. Isn't that amazing? Sheinbaum, isn't that Jewish? Huh. Claudia, oy vey. Hey, how's that going to work? How are you going to eliminate people? I mean, you're sitting there in the news story talking all about the fact that these illegal immigrants are using the app that Biden gave them to circumvent all this. And here's Trump saying, now we need to clamp down on Mexico, so we're going to install tariffs as soon as I take office. And, of course, Sheinbaum, well, she didn't like that. She said that they have discussed Mexico's strategy on the migration phenomenon and shared the caravans are not arriving at the northern border because they're being taken care of in Mexico. We also discussed strengthening collaboration on security issues within the framework of our sovereignty and the campaign we're carrying out in the country to prevent the consumption of fentanyl. Well, I hate to say this, Claudia. It's not bueno. It's not good. No. And these tariffs? You know, Trump says, hey, on Truth Social, fresh tariffs are going to remain until such time as drugs, in particular fentanyl, and all illegal aliens stop this invasion of our country. And the tit-for-tat continues. They can't make up their mind whether or not we're going to have illegals in the country. And I mean, there's contradictions here. One says one thing, one says another, and they're all just, you know, jumping each other's case about how this is going to work and what we have to do. I mean, if you have been watching what the cartels are doing these days, no, they're seriously making things very complicated for the Mexican police. I mean, they need the U.S. military to go down there and chase them back across the U.S. border along with all their drugs. The drugs are still coming in this country because we have stupid people that like to do fentanyl. Amazing how that works, huh? A small town in South Carolina has had a very difficult week this last week. First, the entire police department quit. You gotta love it. This is a town of 2,000 residents called McCall. It's the home of the PD Indian tribe. It's near the North Carolina border. McCall, that's M-C-C-O-L-L, McCall, all right? Bob Hale is the chief of police, or was, of McCall. Became a police chief about a year ago and claimed that he'd grown tired of the antics of an unnamed councilman. You see, city council can make life a living hell, especially when they're all yelling defund the police and these guys are crooks and these guys are slobs and these guys are excessive, you know, abusers of process, abusers of the system. And apparently, McCall's police chief, Bob Hale, couldn't take any more of it and said, I'm out of here. And then the rest of the department walked. Then, of course, at the time, Mayor George Garner declined to comment on the mass resignations, except I hate to see him go. They were a great group, but we got to keep moving on. Yeah, keep on keeping on. He claimed to have received assurances that the Marlboro County Sheriff's Office would oversee the town until a new police chief could be found. And sadly, just days after uttering those remarks, Mayor Garner passed away as a result of veering across the center line into oncoming traffic, striking a tractor trailer. Both Garner and driver of the truck were taken to the hospital. The condition of the other driver is unknown, but Garner passed away at age 49 from his injuries. Darlington County Coroner J. Todd Hardy released a statement on Facebook giving further details about the crash, claiming a sheriff's deputy had been pursuing Garner at the time of the incident. Oh, gee. Really? Why was he pursuing the mayor? The pursuit was not related to any laws being broken. It was taking place in an effort to protect the well-being of Mr. Garner. Well, I mean, if they were running at a high rate of speed. I mean, this happened in the middle of the day. This past Tuesday, Garner was in a 2007 Chevy Tahoe. Happened in Mechanicsville. What can I say? Crash is still under investigation. So now we got no mayor. And we have no police department. And the sheriff gets to be the big cheese, the law of the land, right? Well, it's only fair. Anyway, be back with more news after the break. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
And we're back live on this Thanksgiving Day. So glad you could join us. 208-216-6100, the number if you want to call and chime in on what's going on, what you're doing in your house, when you're going to put the bird in the oven, if you are going to do a bird, are you going out for Chinese, or what are you doing? Are you going out to eat? You going to take mom out for Thanksgiving dinner? What are you going to do? Going to go somewhere else and get waited on hand and foot, eat until you puke? What are you going to do? I mean, you going to watch football today? I mean, what are you going to do? Well, I can tell you what Peanut the Squirrel's owners are set to do. And by the way, the issue with Peanut came much later than Squirrel Radio. It's funny how all of a sudden the squirrels have taken a frontline position here in the media, but Squirrel Radio, SQRradio.com, will carry this show, as it does all the time, at 5 p.m. Central Time, if you want to listen. We're streaming live right now on Global Star 3. We will restream this broadcast again at 11 a.m. when we don't take phone calls, because it is a rebroadcast, same with the 5 o'clock hour, on Squirrel Radio, SQRradio.com. Peanut the Squirrel. Yeah, we told you about him. I feel sorry for the little bugger. His owners are suing New York State, finally, after agents seized and decapitated their internet-famous pet. Everybody loved little Peanut. They say the government may have lied to justify killing the animal. Mark Longo and Danella Bittner filed a notice of claim against the state after Peanut and his raccoon buddy Fred were taken from the couple's upstate home and animal sanctuary in a raid by the Department of Environmental Conservation on October 30th and promptly killed to be tested for rabies. The state basically said that an agent was bitten by Peanut during the raid, sparking a need for the test, but the couple called that accusation an excuse in their notice, which alleged a fabrication of evidence. Couple claims the seizure of the animals was illegal. They were denied due process, only learning their animals had been killed by the state through news reports. Their notice says the couple was denied freedom of speech, freedom of movement, claims the raid left their home damaged. The legal document also takes issue about how Fred and Peanut met their end, saying the animals were not humanely put down. They were executed, not euthanized, the notice said. Oh, this should be interesting to see how they respond. Poor Peanut. You know, and this is the thing about Mr. Longo. I mean, he was watching the mom got run over by a car, and little Peanut was left all by himself, and Mark picked it up and cared for it and grew it, raised it, let it go back out in the wild. It got attacked by a predator and came running back to the home because that's what it knew. It had a relationship with Mr. Longo. And so, you know, Mr. Longo obviously posted it on social media. And apparently one of Mr. Longo's neighbors didn't like the idea that Mr. Longo should have such wonderful enjoyment there in upstate New York. No, because see, misery loves company. And the more that we can rile up the federales or the state government and sick them on somebody, the happier we are, because misery loves company. So rat out thy neighbor. Gee, I wonder, you know, according to the Sixth Amendment, don't you have the right to face your accuser? I'd like to know who in Hades ratted out Mark and Daniela. That's who I'd like to know. Because if it was one of their nasty neighbors or nosy neighbors, we got a little Gladys Kravitz stuff going on there. I sure would like to know who it was, because I think that, you know, somebody needs to pay him a visit and share the word of God about loving thy neighbor as thyself. Because apparently we have a lot of haters out there that apparently don't like other people having a wonderful life. They want their life to be miserable. And of course, you know, Satan motivated people to do this. Guy's just minding his own business. But, you know, like I said, if the next door neighbors, that could be the only way other than if he put the stuff on the internet, which he did. I mean, Peanut was a social media phenomenon and everybody loved him, thought he was cute. But of course the state, as you know, shoot first, ask questions later. What can I say? On this Thanksgiving Day, we have some good news to tell you. There is a player, defensive lineman, for the Kansas City Chiefs. Long as we're talking about football, I'm a big Chiefs fan, of course, having been in the news media in Kansas City for a number of years and got to know a lot of the Chiefs and the Royals, you know, George Brett, Dan Quisenberry, you know, the coach, the skipper. Remember the skipper? Dick Howser? Yep. Had dinner with him one night. He's just a fantastic guy. He's the one who told me about how politicians work with 10-second sound bites. It's amazing how this, you know, the perspectives you learn from people that are having to deal with the media on a regular basis. Well, the defensive lineman for the Chiefs, his name is Tershawn, let's say it right there. Hey, Tershawn Wharton, they happened to beat the Carolina Panthers on Sunday at Bank of America Stadium. They were in Charlotte, North Carolina, of course. It was an away game for the Chiefs. And following the 30-27 Chiefs win, they're 10-1 now against the Panthers. They were walking off the field, and while Chiefs players like Carson Steele and Travis Kelce were making their way into the players' tunnel, several young fans were leaning over the railing trying to get their attention. However, one young fan in a Nick Bolton jersey was being held back by a security guard who was wearing a Bank of America Stadium jacket. When the security guard turned away, the young fan, likely about 10 to 12 years old, fell head first through a gap in the railing toward the ground and other equipment. It was at that point that Tershawn Wharton saw the child falling, lunging forward to prevent him from landing on his head after the approximate 10-foot fall. "Go back to your seats," a security guard yelled as the child was being helped up. "Everybody go back to your seats. The kid just fell." "Really?" As the security guard once again had his back turned, the boy was helped back into the stands by Wharton while fans yelled at the security personnel to help him. Kind of grabbed him right by the back. Yeah, Wharton offered his perspective of the incident. So, you know, You don't think, according to Wharton. You just react. You saw the kid falling. He was going to land on his head. He probably would have been injured if not killed. He could have had his neck broken because those tunnels are concrete. So it was a natural reaction for Wharton. He said, usually when I leave a game, I try to throw my gloves in the crowd, and I think I heard my name a little bit. And when I heard my name, I seen the boy coming down. I seen the boy coming down. Yeah. It was apparently a bad day for security at the stadium, as Wharton then pointed out. There were more guards who didn't seem to realize what he was doing. They were looking at us, but I just had to kind of like push the boy into the stands a little bit to make sure he didn't hit too hard. Wharton says, I kind of grabbed him right by the back, grabbing the back of his own shirt near the collar. The 26-year-old Wharton added, he guided the child towards the stands on the ground level to make sure he didn't hit the floor. Wharton says he's now hoping to find the unidentified child and have him attend another Chiefs game. And that kid, if Tershawn Wharton hadn't been paying attention, that kid might be dead. Who would be at fault? Security? Amazing how that works, huh? There is a group out called the Solari Report, and the most recent report is talking about plunder capitalism, which could execute the largest land grab in history. All of the land the federal government unconstitutionally owns is on the radar of the incoming administration, and in particular, Elon Musk and Howard Lutnick, the incoming Secretary of Commerce nominee. Could this be a financial coup d'etat in the works? Well, Patrick Wood responded with that, saying, we are watching what appears to be a significant AstroTurf campaign to persuade the federal and state governments to begin using significant Bitcoin or BTC buying programs, using taxpayer money and funds borrowed with ever-expanding debt to fund Bitcoin to be held on government balance sheets. This will solve the problem faced by Bitcoin billionaires, how to liquefy their holdings in a market that's not sufficiently broad and deep, allowing them to exit during a major pump. Why would they want to exit now? Because now that the debt growth model is over and there's more paper than there are real assets, the rush for land and real assets is on. Think of this as a swap. If you want the Bitcoin billionaires and Mr. Global, you want to get retail to buy your digital creation so that you can shift to owning and controlling the real assets. Your problem, however, is that retail will not buy in sufficient quantity, so you simply mandate retail buys by using the government to do it. You also want to glorify your digital creations and not draw attention to the land, the minerals, the gold, other real assets. The last thing you want is a wave of retail buying that competes the price of real assets higher. Amazing how that works. I mean, they're looking at $500 trillion worth of land and minerals owned by the U.S. government. They want to take them away from we the people. Amazing how that works, huh? More news coming your way after these important messages here in the Krieger Files. Stay with us on this Thanksgiving Day. We'll be right back.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
Okay, back at 12 minutes to the hour here with more news. We thought we'd share a couple of things about the border crisis, of course. because that is one of the reasons why all the voters went to the polls, because they were sick and tired of the crime and all the other gobbledygook associated with all these illegals and the possibility that they might all end up becoming registered voters. But no, says the Trump administration, who the voters resoundingly put in back in play. And of course, Tom Homan right back in the saddle. Earlier this year, Greg Abbott, we're talking about the Texas governor, directed the National Guard to install more than 100 miles of concertina wire, razor wire, of course, across the along the Texas-Mexico border. And of course, now we just heard that the state of Texas was given the green light to continue building that razor wire border. Federal Court of Appeals just ruled Texas has the right to build that razor wire border wall that they have constructed to deny illegal entry into the state, and that Biden was wrong to cut our razor wire, according to Governor Abbott. Writing in a post on X, we continue adding more razor wire border barrier. Okay. So there you have it. They're doing this. The buoy barriers, I think those are still up. You know, they get to do this. Of course, Biden is going to sue. I don't really care. You know, I mean, he's got what, less than a month left or 2 months left in office? I mean, we're almost up with November. There's just 2 days left. I mean, there's going to be a major cold snap coming through the country in the next few days. December, true to its nature, will be mild. But of course, the closer we get to deportation, I mean, you heard the news, USA News, or, you know, had somebody on there from the Central California Valley talking all about, oh, well, you know, it could affect our food supply production because half our migrant workers here are undocumented. Oh, so that means that we have employers out there that are paying people to pick whatever veggies are growing out there, whether it's lettuce or whatever, and they're picking and they're undocumented. That means you're hiring illegal workers, because if they're undocumented, they got to be illegal. A Southern California mayor sounded an alarm that complying with federal deportations could violate California's sanctuary law and put police officers in his city at risk of losing their jobs and their pensions. This is Mayor Bill Wells of El Cajon, about 40 miles from the Mexico border in San Diego County, claiming the city police face misdemeanor charges in California if they cooperate with federal authorities to deport illegal immigrants. Although El Cajon is not a sanctuary city, California's sanctuary law prohibits cooperation with federal immigration officers in most cases. Wells, in a social media post, said his city intends on complying with federal authorities despite the risk, but hopes to get clarification from State Attorney General Rob Bonta before deportations begin, because no officer should have to choose between doing their duty and jeopardizing their future, according to the mayor. He's doing everything in his power to protect our officers and stand against these dangerous state policies. That's funny. They're even calling these policies dangerous. I wonder why that is. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Okay. Hey, are you familiar with the American Legislative Exchange Council?
The American Legislative Exchange Council. I've heard of it.
Yeah, Alec. That's how a lot of these similar bills get pushed through the state legislatures. It's because of that organization. There's a lot of state legislatures that, legislators that belong to that and push these things through. So don't be surprised when you see that bill in your state legislatures this year, because, and anybody who's active in state politics up there, they need to contact people and give them a heads up on that. Because
okay, now what bill are we talking about, Sherry?
Well, I'm talking about your cryptocurrency thing.
Ah, the Bitcoin.
How they're
going
to try to get, you said something about getting the state governments to buy some of that crap, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so people should get a heads up on that, because like in Kansas, I think it's by the end of February or maybe even earlier that, you know, they have to have passed both houses or passed the house of origin and to go to the other house. And ours usually starts the first week in January.
Right, and Laura Kelly is still your governor, right?
Right.
Yeah,
but
Democratic
I'm just real disappointed in a lot of these people that Trump has put up.
Well,
you know.
Especially Scott Bessent. I mean, the guy, I don't care about his sexual preferences. I mean, we have another Buttigieg here, apparently, but from what I'm understanding. But the bigger problem is the guy is a hedge fund manager, for crying out loud. And to me, that represents a conflict of interest. It's just like putting Hank Paulson in the driver's seat.
Yes, and you know this Burgum?
Doug Burgum? Oh, yeah. Deep state, buddy. Deep state Doug Burgum, yep.
Yeah, and he's been quoted in the Des Moines Register as thinking that the government should use eminent domain to put these CO2 pipelines through. They had it. So he's, anyway. All right, that's all
oh,
I had,
wow.
Dave.
I appreciate it, Sherry. Thanks for your call. Yeah, it's good to know you're listening. We appreciate that. Well, now you got to watch, you know, because we, you know about the administration. We're talking about the Trump administration targeting bomb threats and swatting. I mean, this is what's going on. We told you this kind of garbage was going to happen. All right. It's not just the picks that we're having a problem with. Brady, happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. Are you commenting on what Sherry just said?
Yeah, I'm just happy Thanksgiving also, Dave, to everyone that's listening. One thing is I just think this year, we've been lucky enough where silver's still at $30 an ounce. Time to stock up because you're going to see silver skyrocketing the following year. So everybody start buying silver while you still can at these bargain prices.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're right about that. So our situation, we have a pro-censorship doctor for Surgeon General. We're talking about Jeanette Neshiwat. Remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a problem because this lady pushed the jabs and the boosters and wearing a mask. I mean, it's everything that we know to be false. I mean, she just ignored everything. And it makes me wonder how much Pfizer stock she actually owns.
You know, one thing, too, with that is you got to remember Trump is Vax Daddy. He is Trojan Trump, and he is also Zion Don. He's never apologized for bringing the jab to everybody. He said it's tried and true, and get it, it will do better than it would hurt you. You still have Democrats today saying the jab is good for you. It prevents deaths, like Amy Klobuchar was just on Meet the Press saying, the jab is safe and effective, even though 1 billion people worldwide have succumbed to the jab. That's what we're up against, Dave.
Yeah, I know. And there's, you know, they were having arguendo yesterday, as a matter of fact, about the percentage of people that actually died, because the World Health Organization was saying 3.4% and the Trump administration was saying less than 1%. And then Fauci came out and said less than 1%. So, you know, when you're looking at all of this disinformation or misinformation, and then you put somebody like Neshiwat in the Surgeon General's spot, I mean, you know, we're having a hard time trusting our government already, and they haven't even been installed. I would think that somebody on the Senate committee that's approving all these people is going to start asking the tough questions. That's going to tell us a lot, because all the people in the Senate that have gotten the jab, that believe in it, that haven't dropped dead yet, because there are a lot of people out there that have a problem. I mean, if you're running to the store paying $1,000 a month for Wegovy or Ozempic or whatever, and you're taking these things and your immune system is shot and you've gotten the jab, death is going to come sooner than later, especially with all these turbo cancers starting up that people aren't talking about. Neshiwat is one of them.
Well, exactly. One thing, too, is Well, remember in the good old days, say like in the 70s and 80s, when they came out with a new vaccine and somebody was injured or died from it, what did they do? They took it off the market. So we got 1 billion examples of people dying from the jab and it's still on the market. Come on, FDA. Come on, people. We're enough with the genocide of the American people. Stop the genocide.
Well, the only saving grace is Jabe Hacharya is going to be heading up the NIH, and maybe he will change things. You know, we need people in the driver's seats here that are a little bit more cautious, and I think RFK Jr. is going to have something to say about that when it's all said and done. Brady, thanks for your call. We're done for today's show. It will be broadcast later at 11 a.m. Central. For those of you who want to hear the replay, tell your friends. They can catch it on Squirrel Radio, sqrradio.com, at 5 p.m. Central, and hear the rebroadcast, sans most of the commercials. And in the interim, you have yourself a wonderful Turkey Day. Try not to give yourself too much of an L-tryptophan buzz. You're going to have dinner with family and friends. I don't know. You're going to stock up on ivermectin? Who knows? Anyway, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow. World.